Marlene Thomas, a member of the Shoshone Paiute Tribe of the Duck Valley Indian Reservation in Owyhee, Nevada, was a respected elder. She was a retired nurse. She was beloved by her community, friends, and family. She was one of those people that would give you the shirt off her back. She didn't judge. She didn't care if you messed up. She was still there to help you. On March 12, 2021, Marlene was murdered. She was 70 years old. Her family is seeking the arrest and conviction of those individuals responsible for her death. Her daughter, Amy Rose, said, "The hardest part is not knowing. Someone was cruel enough to extinguish her life. Who could do something like this to her?" Murder is the third leading cause of death among Native American women. One in three Native American women will experience sexual violence in their lifetime. Are you paying attention yet? Hey, everybody, and welcome to True Crime Paranormal with the Psychic Sisters. This is Katie Weaver, and I'm here with my co-anchor, sister, and partner in crime, Christy Brower. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
How's it going?
You know, it's going well. I just did a spirit school on heart chakra first aid. That was a lot of fun, and, you know, it's just good stuff. Good stuff happening right now.
Excellent. Well, I am really ready to dive into this case, and I don't want to say I'm excited, because who's excited about a murder, but I am honored that we have been trusted to bring this case to the public.
Yeah.
The information that I'm sharing is based off of some things that I've been able to read. There's very little out there about this case. And in part due to an interview that I had with the victim's daughter, Amy Rose. And so I want to thank her for trusting us with this information and with her heart, because it was a lot. It was a lot. So let's just take it from the top. Marlene was 70. She's a member of the Shoshone Paiute tribes in Duck Valley in Owyhee, Nevada. She was an elder. She was a retired nurse. She had been the project manager for the diabetes awareness program through Indian Health Services and helped a lot of people through diabetes. She was also diabetic herself.
That's close to my heart.
Yeah. She was really loved by her family. She had a lot of family there. And she was one of those people that would take anyone in, you know, that was struggling. Yeah. Amy Rose said that, you know, she had taken many struggling teenagers and young adults into her home when they needed somebody. Mm-hmm. It's just the kind of person that she was. Yeah. She had two adult daughters and one adopted son and one grandchild. So, on the evening of March 11th, her daughter came to see her. They'd been handing out food boxes for the elderly to, you know, help them keep them home with COVID. Mm-hmm. And she had gathered up a box for her mom and taken it to her house about 6 p.m. And they had a good regular visit. Everything seemed fine. They were laughing and chatting. And she was really funny and sassy and was really fun to visit with. And they just had
the pictures of her. She's so cute. Oh, my gosh.
She's a darling. She's absolutely precious. Yeah. So, you know, as they were chatting and talking, her younger sister and sister's wife lived there as well. And they were kind of in and out. The sister was laying down. Her wife got home while she was there. Well, sometime around 7:30, somebody pulled up to the house in a gray SUV and started honking their horn constantly And it was really aggravating. And it really, really started to bother Marlene. She didn't like it. It was bugging her. And she didn't know who they were there for. She kind of had yelled back to the girls, "Hey, are somebody coming over here for you?" Mm-hmm. And nobody seemed to know. And it was just annoying. And so about 8 o'clock, Amy Rose decided she needed to go. And so she gathered up her stuff to leave. And that gray SUV was still out there. Mm-hmm. And so her mom said, "I am going to tell them to get the hell out of here. I've had enough, you know?" Mm-hmm. So she walked out there and said, "What are you doing out here beeping your horn?" And it was a girl that, two girls that they know, and mm-hmm. two adults that they know. And they indicated that they were there to pick up the sister's wife, maybe, but it was unclear about what they were doing. And one of them was super inebriated and was demanding rides from everybody. And it was just kind of blah. But it didn't bother Amy Rose because she knows these women, you know, and wasn't worried about it. One of them she considered to be her niece. And, you know, so she's like, "Okay, well, whatever, you know, maybe these guys all know what's going on here. So I'm out of here." But so she left and went home. And just a short time later, her mom called her. At around 8:20, she gets home. Mom calls about 9:30 and says that the girls came back and that one of them tried to push her way into the house. And she was really mad, really, really angry and upset, and like much more than normal. She said it. She just was, this pissed her off and affected her much more than normal. You know, usually she was pretty forgiving on stuff, mm-hmm. or maybe she'd be mad for a few minutes and then blow it off. But she was like deeply bothered by this and kind of went on about it for a while and got off the phone. And it worried Amy Rose a little bit because she was pretty fired up about it.
Yeah.
So she tried to call her back about 10 on her cell phone and nobody answers. So she calls again. She calls a few times. And finally, her sister answers, says that mom's gone, that she left mad and got in her truck and took off. She wasn't really sure why. So she was worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy Rose just said she better go look for her and figure out what the heck's going on. Right. So she drives all over the reservation looking and can't see her, can't see anybody out there really. And apparently they, at the time at least, were under COVID quarantine and had to be in by 10 p.m. So if there was anybody on the roads, you were most likely going to see them. Right. So she said she drove up to the hospital because it's up on a hill and you can usually see headlights or, you know, kind of see down over the valley and see, you know, what's going on. But she couldn't see anybody. So she's like, well, maybe she went home or maybe she, you know, went to somebody else's house. So, okay. You know, she's still not like suspecting anything's really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes home and talks to her sister again. And her sister indicates that she thinks maybe she saw her truck go by the house and that maybe she went over to her aunt's house. And they were like, okay, that's good. Maybe she just needed to blow off some steam, drive around for a little while, go visit with an auntie, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy Rose texts the aunt and asks her, have you seen my mom? Is she okay? I'm a little worried about her. And she doesn't respond. And you know, by this time it's really getting late. And again, she's not super worried. She's just like, you know,
yeah, like what's going on here? This seems like out of character maybe.
Mm-hmm. So she goes to sleep and kind of falls asleep on accident. You know, it's just, well, tired, worked all day, you know, kind right, of, true. You know, normal life. Wakes up the next morning to that aunt calling her about 8. And she says, "Hey, did your mom make it home?" Yeah, she said, "I didn't see her or hear from her." So she calls her sister and she says, "No, she never came home." And remember, she left her cell phone home as well. So now everyone's kind of starting to worry. Like, what in the world is going on here? Well, about 9 o'clock, the same aunt, AM, calls her, tells her, "You need to come right now. Your uncle found her in her car," tells her what road. It was like a dirt side road. She says, you need to come right now. So she and her husband jump in the car and they head there. And when they get there, the police are there. Several other family members are there. The paramedics are just arriving, and the car is kind of parked off the road, but kind of sideways. And she mm-hmm. can see her mom in the truck up against the window.
Mm-hmm.
And the truck is running, but the lights are turned off.
Ooh.
It was a Ford F-150 mm-hmm. and should have had, you know, automatic lights, but they've been turned off.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't get her to respond to a prompt. And so a cousin helps to break the window and access the truck. And after a couple of minutes, the paramedics come up to the road where the police are kind of keeping them separate from, the crime scene, let mm-hmm. her know that she's deceased. Oh, and it's this terrible, terrible shock. Yeah. And they don't really tell her anything. They set it up as a crime scene. They start doing some forensics. They take the body. And the cousin tells her she had a bullet wound to her chest. He said it almost looked like a cigarette burn. But that turned out to be totally correct. She was shot right in the heart.
Oh, my God.
So in evaluating the crime scene, she was told that there was a gun in the car. The angle of where the gun was and the fact that the gun was recocked made the detective think that this was not a suicide.
No.
Because there's no way a 70-year-old woman holds a gun up to her own chest, shoots herself in the heart, recocks the gun, and places it way over on the other side of the cab.
No,
there's no
happening.
Not happening. There's no blood trail that would indicate that. And also, why would she do that?
Yeah.
You know, and also she couldn't do that because a shot to the heart, you know.
Yeah. No, it's instant.
So, you know, of course, they are so shocked. But just a couple of minutes later, they're still standing on the road. They've really, literally, just minutes before received the news that she has passed. Mm-hmm. She hasn't even told her sister yet. Her sister's at home and she hasn't mm-hmm. even been notified yet that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a text from a lady in town that she knows. Sure, sorry to hear about your mom. We're really going to miss her. I really loved her. So she says to her aunts that are there, did you tell anybody? And they said, no, you haven't texted anybody. And she's like, they're like, no, what are you talking about? This just happened. But somehow people in town already knew.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So they take the truck and her and all of the evidence, and it 2 weeks later they did release the body so that they could bury her, which mm-hmm. was a necessary thing for them to be able to honor her.
Yeah, of course. Her. Be able to move on and start the process of grieving, and yeah. You can't do that until you do whatever you're gonna do with sure. someone who's passed away.
Oh my gosh. And in such a terrible way. And so she's just been kind of going on with life as the best she can at this point. But her aunt from North Dakota came and stayed a month and helped him do the funeral and, you know, be there for them. Mm-hmm. And then she went home to North Dakota, and she wasn't back on her reservation, but just a very short amount of time. And she was murdered.
What? Oh, yeah. My God.
Not related, but I think it's important to share things like this with this family story, because we have got to get a grip on the level of violence that is happening right now, because it's so shocking.
My God.
Yeah. So then they buried that auntie. And then last week, a cousin that she was raised with, that she was very dear to, right there on her same reservation, the Duck Valley Reservation, was run over by two girls that were angry with him, and they ran over him and backed up and ran over him again, and apparently ran over him several times, and then peeled out on his body. And they buried him last week. This family has been through hell.
Mm-hmm. What is going on? Oh my God.
It sounds like there's some real substance abuse issues, not in this family, but, you know, in on the reservation and in their area. But also there's just there's a lot of violence. And I bring it up because we know that the third leading cause of death for Native American women is murder. Third leading.
Which means that
every family, every Native American family currently is experiencing murder in their families. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Would you get your head around that? Yeah.
I can't get my head around that. That is, we have a cousin who was murdered whose case was just completely ignored. Mm-hmm. And we weren't even that close as adults. We were as kids, but mm-hmm. it still haunts me. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't imagine living with this in your family all the time like this. This, what in the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry for Amy Rose and everyone else in this family that they've been through all of this. That's just shocking.
And they just keep going, you know, because what else do you do?
You just keep, you know, we learned it when we lost our parents. It turns out grief doesn't kill you. You keep living.
You're pretty sure it will for a while, but it does not.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
Yeah. So a few things to note. I did ask her, if there was anything she would like to share with me just about this whole situation, other than what we'd already discussed. And she said that the hardest part is the not knowing.
Right.
She said someone was cruel enough to extinguish her life, and who could do something like this? And there have been a lot of rumors around town, lots of whispers, some real cruelty really launched at their family. And she said it feels like everyone knows, but nobody knows. You know,
haven't we heard that before?
So many times. Everyone has an idea of who did it. There are some people in town that seem to have some death following them around. But here's some good news about this case. The detective on this case is determined. He told her that this one has shaken him to his core.
I'll bet.
He, an elder, murdered.
Anybody with a grandma is going to be absolutely stunned by this.
And he's really working it hard. Also,
that's really good to hear, because so frequently we hear the opposite.
Yeah. They have already transferred all of the evidence that they have, the crime scene evidence, to Quantico for testing. They're on this.
Good.
The other good news part of this, you guys, is that they didn't just immediately write it off as a suicide. That happens more often than not.
I'm pretty stunned that they didn't, because we have heard of situations that were way less mm-hmm. obvious as far as could it be a suicide that have been, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we have on our local reservation, there's a case that we know of a woman who was dismembered a couple of years ago. Her case still hasn't even been classified as a murder, you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, though, you could dismember yourself. So I'm really happy to hear that they are looking at this.
I'm really, really encouraged that they are really looking hard into it, because I think that's really important.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, that they don't let up. And I feel like that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, she said it's been hard. It's hard to hear all of these rumors and have ideas of your own and yet just be living amongst these people and just trying to go on with everyday life the best you can.
And well, yet, thinking that you likely live around the people who killed her.
Yeah.
Did they arrest the people who killed her cousin?
There has been an arrest, yes.
Oh, good.
Yep.
At least it's not. What about her aunt? I know it was a different place, but
We could take that case on, really.
Well, maybe we should. Do a case That's study just, on it. Oh my gosh, what?
I know. And she, by the way, is an absolutely lovely person. I had a beautiful visit with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, our heart goes out to her and her sister and all of their family members that have been affected by this. It is just a horror.
It is.
But I saw this case on Facebook on the MMIW page. If you guys don't follow, it's just the MMIW Facebook page.
Yeah, the national one.
This is like Yeah, the national one. Yeah,
it's really good.
That's a really good resource. And it's a good one to follow so that you can kind of get a sense of what's going on in Indian country, and also where you can send your support, your financial support, and your prayers and your blessings and whatever you are doing. But it's important to stay current on what's actually happening here, because it is stunning.
It is. Well, and it might actually surprise you to see a missing or a murdered person come up in your area.
Yeah.
Because although this feels like it's the Northwest, in the United States, it's still happening all over the country. It's just happening more here, you know, Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, Nevada, Montana.
North Dakota.
I just threw that
actually
in there
because we live in Mexico. New Mexico is the leading state in U.S. for missing and murdered Indigenous people, not just women, but people.
Not just women.
Yeah. So there you have it. So what they are doing, of course, is asking anybody who knows anything to please, please come forward with information. So this is the Duck Valley Bureau of Indian Affairs phone number. It's also in our case description so that you can find it there. But I'm sharing this here as well, because of course, if you know anything, you can anonymously leave a tip, and they're asking anyone who knows anything to please, please do that. And let's not let Marlene die in vain.
No, come on. If you know something, say something. We have a real problem, I feel like, in the U.S. With people just looking the other way. If it doesn't have anything to do with me, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of that, and that makes me really angry, especially in cases like this.
Yeah.
When you clear, I mean, obviously, there are people in the community that know things.
Yeah.
Come on, get some gumption and say something.
Yeah. One thing that Amy Rose stressed to me, she said, you know, I think people need to understand that these are real people.
Yeah.
These are real families. You know, it's different when it happens to you, you know, but you see these things in the news and you go, oh, how terrible, but you don't know. You don't really put yourself in the shoes of those daughters or, you know, of those family members who have literally just had their hearts torn open and their hero extinguished. And she said, you know, we were talking about how death has gotten to be so commonplace, so blasé, you know, especially violent crimes that we just go, yeah, that happened, you know, and that it's maybe a part of our problem. But, you know, she said, remember that whenever you're talking about a case like this or seeing something like this in the news, these are real families. These are real grieving people that, you know, have just had their lives shattered by a violent event.
Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, for most of us as true crimers, we hear about the story, we move on, maybe we look for some updates, but this is something people are living 24/7 for the rest of their lives.
Right. For the rest of their lives.
And we can at least, as, you know, people interested in true crime, we can at least do our part, you know, to get involved in situations that can help in whatever way that we can.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, we take as many MMIW cases on as we can find, because these are the cases that aren't seeing the light of day. I could not find a single newspaper article about Marlene's death, you guys, a single one. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they're out there, but I searched and searched and I searched on different days and in different search engines, and I couldn't come up with a single thing.
That's frightening to me.
And to be honest, that's why I reached out to family. That is something we typically do not do.
Yeah.
Out of respect. In this case, I felt like there's literally nothing. And I was looking I was stalking them all on Facebook because Facebook research can be really valuable sometimes. But anyway, she was commenting on Facebook that she just feels like they're invisible. And, you know, her mom's death is just being ignored. And I thought, you know, maybe this is one time that I'm going to break my own rule. And I'm glad I did, though I won't make a habit of it, I doubt. But I'm glad I did in this case. I think I just followed my gut on it. And I think it was the right choice. But We're very careful to not hound families and be gross. We will never, ever do that.
No.
We also won't read this case publicly. And you guys know that. We've talked about this lots of times with cases, with things that just happened. We will not read them publicly because it's the wrong thing to do. I did read it privately for Amy Rose, and that's it. That's all we'll say about it as far as, the psychic side of our work, because this is too new. And there's a big investigation in this right now, and we don't need to insert ourselves in it. No. We're here to share facts and to keep a spotlight on this case so that at some point it'll get solved.
Yeah.
So that this family can have some closure and some peace. And that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that is it. That's the story, guys. So this is our Wednesday case. So we'll be back tonight with some case updates, and we sure have some. And believe it or not, they're not all from the Vallow case.
Yeah.
There's some from there too, but big surprise. But there's others. Yay. And then we'll be back tomorrow night, Thursday night at 7 p.m. for the psychic hour. And I got to tell you guys, we just booked a guest for August. I'm not going to tell you what date yet because it's not solidified, but we booked a guest for August for the psychic hour. It's going to blow your minds. You are going to adore her. And I'm so excited. So keep an eye on that. We'll be making an announcement about it really soon. But this is good stuff. Good stuff happening. So we'll keep the lights on here. Please like, share, comment. Please help us to put a spotlight on Marlene's case. Let's not ever, ever let the light go off on this one.
No.
All right. Well, thank you, Christy. Thank you guys all for being here. This has been yet another production of True Crime Paranormal with the Psychic Sisters. Take care.
Bye, guys.